Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the cause of disease when we come back. You know, Leviticus 19, verse 19 tells us, "You shall not sow your field with mingled seed." That's because hybrid seed and genetically modified organisms are a crime. They violate that law. And a study from Cornell University says that an increasingly popular commercial corn, genetically engineered to produce a bacterial toxin to protect it against corn pests, has an unwanted side effect. The pollen kills monarch butterflies, and butterfly larvae in laboratory tests. Now, the questions that Cornell left unanswered are even more telling. What else does it kill? Surely butterflies aren't the only unintended victims here. Poisons, after all, aren't too picky. Does it cause mutations? And if so, what plants, animals, or insects are affected? When do you know if you're eating it? Is it in your grits? Is it in your cornbread? We know it turned up in Taco Bell tortillas. Now, if it isn't in a food product, will it be labeled as containing genetically modified organisms? And also, they're known as GMOs. Will stores pull those products from the shelves like they did with the tortillas after they got caught? Or will they just ignore the problem and look the other way if we don't catch them? Well, so far, government, the Department of Agriculture, the Food and Drug Administration, and the multinational seed, petrochemical, and food processing corporations have totally ignored critics of agricultural biotech. These are the people that want government to require labeling and labeling our food when they contain these GMOs. Now, if you'd like to know more about this multinational corporate monopoly that controls our seed and food supplies and how you can become independent from them, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package first? That's the place to start. It's informative, it's entertaining, it's educational, and best of all, it's free of charge. You can call right now and order one. The number is 417-273-4967. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or call us at 417-273-4967. Why don't you do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget? All right, we've been talking about this thing here, the cause of disease, looking at Joel Wallach's book on rare earths. Chapter 7 deals with genetic defects, or defects. We call them genetic, and actually, it's the lack of nutrition that causes the genetic defect. That's what the real key to this is, and the reason we know that is because these kinds of nutritional genetic defects occur in livestock. It occurs in sheep, cattle, pigs. It occurs in dogs and cats. Veterinarians have known about this for decades and decades. At least 100 years, anyway. In the early days, they didn't quite know what to do with it. But with experimentation in the livestock industry, we discovered that by feeding mineral supplements, how many mineral supplements are there? 60. 60. And vitamins, how many vitamins are there? 16. So you got 60 minerals, trace elements, things like copper, manganese, boron. And we find that these trace minerals, if there's a lack of them, causes a disease. For instance, if we're lacking, for instance, in in vitamin C, we find that there is a result that comes from it, and we call that scurvy. If you've got a vitamin A deficiency, we can see that that's got a night blindness deficiency. That's a result that comes from this vitamin A deficiency. We get night blindness. If you don't have enough vitamin D, you get rickets. Well, what happens if you don't have enough of the trace minerals? Well, as we've seen here, Joel Wallach, a veterinarian, traces this out, and they found out that, well, if you're lacking in zinc, for instance, you will develop muscular dystrophy or cystic fibrosis. It's not the only cause, but it is a key mineral deficiency, and we can duplicate this in the laboratory. So it didn't take them very long to figure out, well, if animals develop cystic fibrosis and animals develop muscular dystrophy, what causes that? And so they started feeding them different rations, and they found out they could clear it up. What was more important, they could prevent it. Now, in the last program, we were talking about this thing of homosexuality and gays. What causes gays? Well, the gay community for years said, well, it's a genetic defect. What causes this genetic defect? And the answer is, it's a lack of nutrition on the part of the mothers or the fathers prior to conception and during pregnancy. That's what causes it. How do we know that? Because it shows up in animals. And how did we cure it in animals? By giving them a complete ration, a complete diet. Now, this diet contains 91 elements. It's got 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 essential amino acids, and 3 essential fatty acids. Add them up, 91. All right, there's 91 things that you have to have in your body. So I've mentioned that the physician, this is your allopathic medical doctor now, he has a desk reference. He has a book on his desk. It's known as the physician's desk reference. And it contains all of the diseases. In other words, all the symptoms that develop from these nutritional deficiencies show up there. And the least common denominator to this is that if you're sick, one of two things has happened to you, or perhaps both. One, you've been poisoned. You've got some kind of toxic condition. Or two, you are nutritionally deficient in one of these or more of these nutritional elements. Or you could have a combination of both. So when we take a look at things like scurvy, rickets, and night blindness, we can see that there's a vitamin deficiency. We give you the vitamin and it goes away. We call that a cure. How simple that is. No big mystery here. This isn't rocket science. Doctors don't have a problem curing vitamin C deficiency, vitamin A deficiency, or vitamin D deficiency, but we have a real problem in curing cancer, muscular dystrophy, or cystic fibrosis. And birth defects, which affect, here in the United States, 5%, that is 5 live births out of every 100, that's 1 out of every 20, has some kind of a birth defect. What causes these birth defects? And that's what we have been talking about here in the last program. Let me give you a little filler here where we finish up on homosexuality, which is a mineral deficiency. If you want to prevent homosexuality, then we have to give you, mothers, while you're carrying this fetus, the proper nutrients. And if we can do that, your child will turn out normal. If we don't, he's going to have some kind of a defect. It could be a birth defect of his sexual organs. It could be a birth defect of his cleft palate. A birth defect could be a... A club foot. There are 17 of these birth defects. Here's what they are again. It's the cleft lip and or the cleft palate. Club foot. More than 5 fingers. They call them polydactyle. Congenital heart disease. Congenital means you're born with it. You got this heart disease. spina bifida. That's a defective spine. You've got deformity of your external genitalia, which is what we're discussing right now. Abnormal union of your fingers, mongolism, bone and joint deformities, hydrocephalus, and navel hernia and protrusion of bowels, head and trunk deformities, imperforate anus, ear deformities. Here's one here, tracheosophageal deformities, tracheosophageal deformities. Evidently, that's in your trachea. That would be in your tracheal tube. Artesia of the intestines. That's a bowel obstruction. And then finally, skin or birthmarks. Now, birthmarks aren't so bad. Most of them are hidden anyway under your clothing, kind of like your tattoos. But if you'll notice, Mikhail Gorbachev, the former premier or prime minister of Russia, has a very prominent birthmark on his forehead. Stands right out. Probably was covered up when he had hair, but now that he's bald, you know, it stands right out. All right, now that's caused by his mother, who didn't have proper nutrients, and so he showed up with a birth defect. Now that's kind of minor, but if you've got a club foot or a cleft palate, that's not minor. That's pretty serious. If you've got Down syndrome, that's not minor. That's pretty serious. Now, Roger A. Gorksy at the University of California at Los Angeles back in 1978 found the preoptic hypothalamic nuclei in rats that controlled sexual appetite. In addition to size differences in male and female cell groups, Gorksy found that male hormones play a key role in producing the size differences in males and females. Initially, males and females have the same size and number of cells in their preoptic area. A surge of testosterone secreted by the male fetus before birth appears to stabilize these cell populations. In females, the lack of the testosterone surge allows them to atrophy. Removing testosterone from adult males by castration does not cause a shrinking of the cells in your brain. Now, combined with the study of identical twins that failed to show a genetic pattern, that is, the rate of both identical twins being gay would have to be 100%. So, let's pause here for a moment. The general conception for many years was that gay behavior was a genetic defect. There's nothing that we could do to correct it. Then we came to the conclusion, well, it's a lifestyle choice. Lifestyle choice. There was an interesting case that came up in Canada some years ago, and I'll describe it for you. A little boy was taken in for just a routine circumcision, and the doctor fouled it up, and his penis was damaged. So the doctor convinced the mother that what we needed to do was just perform a sex change operation. Very common now, very common. Just produce a sex change operation on this child. I mean, after all, this baby is, what, 6 weeks old? And we'll just turn this baby into a girl. That's all. No big deal here. So they did. Just changed this little baby into a girl. And raised it as a girl, and the child grew up. And pretty soon, child gets to be about 11, 12, 13 years old. And this child looks like a girl, is developing like a girl, has long hair like a girl, wears dresses like a girl, has been raised as a girl, treated like a girl. All of a sudden, this kid, he finds out he's not a girl. He's attracted to females. He's repulsed by males. So this kid does not like girls, but he does like boys. But he's a girl. See, that's what he thinks. And the answer to that is this gland up in your brain. During development, the thing that makes girls girls and boys boys are these chromosomes. He has so many chromosomes. This is your gene makeup, your RNA and your DNA. And then up in your brain, this little section of your brain, see, in this child here, it developed normally. And this boy has this size in his brain that says, I'm a boy. It didn't atrophy away like it does in females. See, he had testosterone at one time. Then they castrated him. And then you saw right here, it said if you castrate him, it still doesn't change the size or the makeup in your brain. So here's this guy, he's got this little thingy up in his brain here that says, I'm a boy. And so there's the rub. These sex change operations are successful. I mean, they're able to do this. It's pretty common now. When I was a kid, it was kind of wild and off the wall. Today, it's pretty common. And we described a little earlier how the genitalia, in some cases, are half developed in one direction or another. And the French study showed there's 98 different abnormalities that develop here. And all of this traces back to vitamin mineral deficiency during pregnancy. Now, it can also trace back to a sperm defect, which is pre-pregnancy. Sperm defect. So you men out there, wake up and smell the coffee over here. If your body is not does not have proper nutrition, then you're going to have a low sperm count, and you're going to have defective sperm. And then the defective sperm can also cause birth defects. It's another factoid that we've discovered here. Now, combined with the study of identical twins that failed to show a genetic pattern, the rate of both identical twins being gay would have to be 100%. The LaVey study is a sure indication that gay behavior is a congenital defect rather than a genetic defect or behavioral choice. There's the proof positive right there. If you have identical twin boys, and one of them grows up to be gay and the other one doesn't, if it was genetic, they would both grow up to be gay. And the fact that one of them does and the other one doesn't shows that in the womb there was a competition going on for the nutrients that were available. One of them develops normally and the other one doesn't. One of them may develop a birth defect in one area, and the other one develops a birth defect in another area. But birth defects are caused by nutritional deficiencies at certain key points in the pregnancy period, or in some cases before pregnancy. Now, a parallel study of 147 gay women who had identical twin sisters showed that only 48% who have twins when they turn out to be gay, and then 16% of fraternal twins of gay women are gay, while only 6% of adopted sisters are gay. Approximately the same results as in the identical twin study in gay men. Simon LaVey's findings agree with the German studies conducted back in the 1970s. So when viewed in the light of known physical and behavioral sexual defects in animals from multiple embryo litters suffering from congenital mineral and vitamin deficiencies, rats with 14 embryos to free martens and cattle with fraternal twins where embryos compete for limited nutrition, the high percentage, but not the total, but the high percentage of gay twins and identical and fraternal twins is understandable. Human twins are competing for limited resources to a greater degree than single embryos. Therefore, more congenital defects occur in multiple births. It is an easy mental jump to perceive that one should be able to prevent the congenital hermaphrodite and the intersexual as well as the gay embryo with complete preconception nutrition with 90 nutrients including minerals. Runts. You ever heard that word, runt, R-U-N-T? When we deal with pigs, you know, you'll have a multiple birth there. There'll be six or eight pigs sitting out there, and then one or two of them will be what we call runts. In humans, we call it low birth weight babies. low birth weight babies, also known as the runt of the litter. Well, runts in multi-baby animal litters are the equivalent of low birth weight babies in humans, especially when twins and triplets are involved. When the pregnant woman's diet is incomplete in calories, protein, minerals, and vitamins, she competes with her embryo for nutrition, and the baby will be born small, lacking vigor and lacking a robust immune system, which decreases its chances of survival in the first year of life. The low birth weight baby is a heavy price to pay, both in health and in extra days necessary in the hospital, for a shortened delivery time to allow the doctor to get in and then get out so he can get back to the golf course. More serious than low birth weight is, of course, birth defects and incomplete separation of twins. We call those Siamese twins. The World Health Organization ranks Americans as 23rd in live births and first-year survivability for our newborns. They rank Americans as 32nd for birth defects when we are compared with the other industrialized nations of the world. Not a very good record for the nation with the most advanced and most expensive medical system in the world. Now, after the human child is born, and assuming it is physically and emotionally perfect, there is still a genetic potential to fulfill. That is, physical development, emotional development, intelligence or IQ, small muscle dexterity skills, and height and longevity. The development, growth, and longevity of the newborn is not guaranteed by genetics if optimal nutrition, that is, minerals, vitamins, essential amino acids, and essential fatty acids, calories, and proteins, are withheld, and nurturing are not available. The human child, even though they are perfectly formed physically and chemically at birth, must still jump through new nutritional and biochemical hoops at every developmental juncture, and if any piece of critical nutrition is missing at the wrong moment, then the child's physical or mental development, sociability, IQ, musical talent, athletic ability, growth, and longevity will be drastically affected. Now, the average American male is 5'8" tall, and the average female is 5'4" tall, even though our human genetic potential for height is as approximately 7 feet. Now, it was not too many years ago that a 6-foot-tall professional basketball player was a wonder to behold. Today, if the college or professional team doesn't have a 7-foot center and 6-foot-7 guards, they can't compete. It was the availability of calories, protein, and enough minerals that allowed men and women to finally reach their genetic potential for height. Now, Texans were typically over 6 feet in height in the 19th century. Now, Americans in general were tall compared to most Europeans and Asians, and yet Texans and Americans were not a homogeneous genetic group. They, in fact, were a mixture of every culture from every corner of the world. And it was the relatively unlimited calories and the high-quality mineral-rich food that allowed us to come nearer to reaching our human genetic potential for height than the European or Asian with limited calories, limited minerals, or limited protein. Now, one of our favorite demonstrations of genetic potential for physical development was an experiment in which 100 identical ducklings with the same mother and father. Now, one keeps stealing the eggs from the nest and refrigerating them until you collect 100. Then you take all 100 eggs that are incubated at the same time. And they were divided into 4 groups of 25 ducklings each, and they were fed 4 different diets. So let's get the picture here. You take a duck, a male and a female, and you collect 100 eggs out of the female, and you refrigerate the eggs so that all of your eggs have exactly the same genetic makeup. Then you hatch all 100 eggs at the same time, divide them into four groups of 25 each. And then you give the four groups of ducks, ducklings in this case, a different diet. And then you watch the outcome. Now, we don't do this with humans. We do it with animals, and we get results, and then we carefully document it. But with humans, we just let these humans eat whatever the hell they want to eat. We don't conduct these kinds of nutritional studies with humans. Not quite sure why, but we don't. And then we wonder, and we gasp in horror when we have birth defects, and we say, oh, why me? Why me? Why did this happen? I mentioned Sarah Palin, the vice presidential nominee in the last election, has a child that is mongoloid. That's why they call that Down syndrome. Well, she had a birth defect, is what that is. It was caused by a zinc deficiency. She could have eliminated that with proper nutrition while pregnant. Now, it could be that it was her husband that wasn't properly fed. Could be. Now, that's a hell of a price to pay. And remember that the cost for the average Down syndrome child is $1 million. So that child is going to cost over its lifetime. And it'll be a short lifetime. They only live to be 20 or 30 years old. So it shortens the lifespan of the child, lowers his IQ. And he's retarded physically and mentally. And it's going to cost $1 million. Now, Joel Wallach here says, don't you think that it would be worth spending $50 a month while this woman is carrying this baby to prevent that? Wouldn't that be worth it? So let's take a look here. The results in these ducks now was spectacular. In fact, here in Chapter 7, there's a picture of the ducks. They've got a duck from each of the four groups here. And after 1 month, groups 1 and 2 showed identical growth and development rates, which was almost zero. Group 3 ducks were 3 times larger than group 1 and 2, and group 4 was twice as large as group 3 and 6 times larger than group 1 and 2. Only group 3 and 4 came close to fulfilling their genetic potential for physical growth and development at age 1 month. Only group 3 and 4 were fed supplemented pellets that contained all of the known nutrients required by ducks. The additional growth and development of group 4 can be attributed to more calorie intake because of the added juice of the barley grass, which made the pellets more acceptable or palatable, and or the living plant enzymes of the barley grass. So they fed group 1 lettuce. Group 2, they fed hydroponically grown barley. Group 3, they fed Purina duck grower pellets. In group 4, they fed Purina duck grower pellets and barley grass. The size differentials here are spectacular, to say the least. 6 times larger than groups 1 and 2. Now, ducks, you know, they get by fine on just eating lettuce or just eating grass. They can grow on that. And they did this for 30 days, took pictures of them. And then they show you what the outcomes are. Well, now humans do the same thing. And one of the more spectacular ways of demonstrating this is looking at the people that come from around the world to the United States. Now, take Japanese, for instance. I was over in Hawaii one day. And a busload of Japanese stopped, and they went into the factory where we happened to be over at the Mauna Loa Nut Factory. And they have tours there, and I happened to be there and went through the tour. And this, I was standing outside, and this bus door opened up, and out pours, 30, 40 Japanese tourists. And I was immediately surprised by the size of these people. They were very small people. Now, I'm 6 foot, and these people, I don't think very many of them made much more than 5 feet. And I looked at their physique, the size of them, you know. You could see that they were small people. I don't think there was a one of them that got off the bus that weighed 150 pounds. I weigh over 200, and I don't I don't see myself as being a giant by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm not small. Now, I also notice this when I go to big cities. You know, I go to New York City or Chicago. Just walking down the street. And I look at the size of the men walking on the sidewalk, and I notice right away that the people that live in the city are smaller people than those people that live out here in the countryside. See, I'm from the country here. And most of the people that are around here, you know, the farmers, like Dale Smith across the road, he's over 6 feet and weighs more than 200 pounds. Don Uchman. Now, Everett Chisholm's small. One of my neighbors here, but as I look around my neighborhood over here, most of the men here in this local area are 6 foot or more, and then they weigh 200 pounds or more. Now take a look at the Japanese. Now there's Japanese sumo wrestlers that weigh 400 pounds, but you know those guys eat a lot, and they're fed special diets, which demonstrates my point. Take a look at those Japanese sumo wrestlers at their size and the average size of the Japanese. The next time you happen to be over at the Mauna Loa Nut Factory and you watch the Japanese coming off the buses, take a look and pay attention to their size, and you're going to see something. Now, the other day I was watching a TV special over here, and they were talking about immigrants here to the United States, and particularly immigrants that come over here to play sports. And they had a guy from Taiwan, Chinese guy, over 6 foot, weighed over 200 pounds, playing ball for the New York Yankees. There's a basketball player from China, 7 foot tall, here playing basketball in the United States. Why do these people show up with that kind of size out of a normal population of people that are very small? Well, here in the United States, a lot of Chinese people have come over here. Take a look at the size of the native-born Chinese compared to the Chinese from China. Take a look at the native-born 3, 4, 5-generation Japanese here in the United States. And you're going to see that they are much, much bigger. In fact, they're about the same size as Americans. And if they're out here in the countryside, they're likely to be 6 foot or more, weigh 200 pounds. Not that the Japanese are inherently small genetically. Genetically, they have the same potential as the rest of us, but they live on rice and fish. It's not a diet that is conducive, just like raising ducks on lettuce. You can raise ducks on lettuce and grass, but it's not a diet conducive to extreme size or size differentials. So I'm looking here at these ducks over here. The results were spectacular. After 1 month, groups 1 and 2 showed identical growth. And then group 4 is 6 times larger. A human parallel to the duck experiment is the Japanese immigrants who came to the United States as small, wiry people, about 4 foot 11 inches tall, weighing 100 pounds, soaking wet. Their genetic potential for growth and development was never met by eating the low-calorie rice, vegetable, and fish diet of their native Japan. The second-generation Japanese conceived and born in the United States was a different story. The son was 6 foot tall, weighed 220 pounds, and played tight end for the university football team. Their genetic potential was met by having access to unlimited calories, protein, milk, and mineral and vitamin supplements. That's the difference right there. Big Macs and fries don't hack it. All right, let me give you a reminder here at the halfway point that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law. From the scriptural perspective, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. www.genetically-modified.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct, at least to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or these recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. We should keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. But they should. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please visit our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are reviewing Chapter 7 of Rare Earths, Forbidden Cures by Joel D. Wallach. Joel Wallach is a veterinarian. He's also a naturopathic physician. He also works on people. The thing that probably distinguishes him more than any other is the fact that he's a veterinarian and has a perspective of nutrition that the average allopathic medical doctor does not have. Your local medical doctor does not place any importance at all upon nutrition, as is evidenced by the food served in hospitals. Those hospitals care nothing about nutrition. It's not a part and parcel of their program. It's not a part and parcel of healing. Drugs are what they use to heal with. And there's some merit to that. Not much, but some. Now, nutrition, on the other hand, is what we use to prevent disease. If you wanted to prevent Down syndrome, then it's through nutrition. You can't treat Down syndrome after the fact. Now, once the child is born, there it is. This is what you got. The product was built in the mother's womb, and if there were a deficiency in parts that were available during the development, during the construction of this baby, it's going to appear when it's born. Those are called birth defects. There wasn't enough of the parts necessary to develop a complete heart, to develop a complete genital system, to complete the mouth and the lips. And so we get these birth defects, of which there are 17 common birth defects. Now, physical output is another gauge of development. American youth ranks very poorly with the rest of the world. Our average kids could win, in a television watching marathon. But when it comes to athletics, our basic physical strength, you know, we fail. And few of our fifth graders can do 10 push-ups or run or walk a mile in 8 minutes. Doing aerobics with Arnold Schwarzenegger without mineral supplements will not get the results that we're looking for. In fact, exercise without vitamin and mineral supplementation is downright dangerous and could be fatal, as we see with Jim Fix, Reggie Lewis, and Hank Gathers, among others. Fortunately, it is never too late to start taking in all 90 of these nutrients required by our bodies. A comparison of two groups of marathon runners, one group receiving a mineral supplement and trace minerals, rich clay containing a total of 72 minerals, showed an improvement in their average race times after 6 months of training in relation to supplemental intake. The unsupplemented group showed an improvement of 5.27 minutes following training, while the supplemented group showed an improvement of a whopping 16.57 minutes following training. Now, it is interesting that some groups of people and some individuals reach the pinnacle of intelligence, that is, high SAT scores and high IQ, including math, music, and language, while others never do better than becoming mental vegetables or work units in our society. Now, some completely drop out and become the bad seeds, the homeless and the unemployable. The difference between the child prodigy, such as in music, art, math, and physics, and the high school dropout is not genetics or income level of the parents, but rather it is the nutritional and especially the mineral intake, which make up the competency of the child during pre- and postnatal development. When we translate this simply, if we would spend $300 to $500 and put it into minerals and vitamins for every pregnancy to include preconception supplements for both men and women, and monthly supplements during pregnancy, and $50 a month for growth, development, and longevity, the unnecessary production of millions of low birth weight babies and severely physically and emotionally disabled children could be eliminated. The ability for more people to reach their longevity potential of 120 to 140 years would be realized. I'll pause right here. I'm not sure that that's true. If we look in the scripture, we find that God, the Creator now, has guaranteed us 70 years, 25,550 days. There's nowhere in the scripture where we're guaranteed 120 to 140 years. I see that number bantied about by these people selling these health food books. And I'm sure Wallach is a nice guy, and I don't find fault with him. I just wanted to point out that 120 to 140 years is unscriptural, but 75 to 80 years is right in the ballpark. And here in America, the average Joe Sixpack does live to be 75.5. Doctors, allopathic physicians live to be age 58 on average. They're about 20 years short of their natural lifespan. Now, it is true that there are some people that live to be 100. You know, Bob Hope lived to be 100, George Burns. There's a few notable people that live to be 100 years old. And they probably ate well. Now, I saw Carl Malden the other day died. And Carl Malden was 97. He lived more than his 70 and 80 if you're strong. He evidently was strong, lived to be 97. Now, going on here, it says, setting aside the unforgivable human tragedy of emotionally and physically disabled children, as well as bad seeds and all of the unnecessary human suffering, the ultimate savings to the American public over the lifetime of a disabled or jailed child would range from $500,000 to several million dollars each, for an annual savings to ourselves, the taxpayers, in the trillions of dollars. He points out here that, and we've seen this in other stories, where what causes people to become criminals? Criminals. Bad nutrition. Bad nutrition in public school, bad examples, but nutrition plays a vital role in whether or not you mentally come out to be a child progeny or you come out to be an auto worker working at General Motors. Now, you know, it's the way life is. Some of us are smarter than others. Now, I'm not overly smart. I'm just kind of an average Joe Sixpack. I might have been better had my mother had better nutrition, or I might be smarter if I'd had better nutrition growing up. Now, the World Health Organization ranks Americans as 19th in healthfulness when we're compared with the other industrialized nations. Let's pause now and think about that. America, the richest nation in the world, we call ourselves. We're not. That's a fiction, but we like to think of ourselves as being wealthy. and have plenty of food and so on, then why are we 19th in the world? Why aren't we number one? This means that there are 18 other countries in the world whose peoples live longer than Americans do before developing chronic degenerative diseases such as hypertension, heart disease, aneurysms, arthritis, osteoporosis, diabetes, cataracts, glaucoma, and cancer. I'm watching TV and I see this lady comes on and says, I have osteoporosis, but thanks to, and she's taking some kind of drug or supplement over here. Has it ever occurred to us that we wouldn't develop osteoporosis if we had these nutrients to start with? What caused your osteoporosis? What caused your bones to degenerate? Isn't it because you're not getting enough nutrients to keep your bones in condition? Not everybody develops osteoporosis. So for you people that do develop osteoporosis, why? What happened to you? It's your nutrition is bad. Now, I don't have osteoporosis, and I try to eat a lot of calcium and a lot of mineral-rich foods, and I drink milk, and I eat well, and I don't wear glasses, and I don't need a hearing aid yet. You know, I'm 70. I've lived my 70. I'm a free agent now. I can die at any time. Until I'm 70, I couldn't die. Well, I couldn't die practicing the Ten Commandment model here, but now that you get to be 70, you know, you've reached your potential. That's the guarantee under the contract. But we Americans, with all of our medical technology and with all of our food surpluses and all these goodies over here, shouldn't we be number one? We're not, but shouldn't we be? In translating the World Health Organization ranking, it simply says we wear out quicker than the other people and cultures do, not because of inferior genetics, as the orthodox medical doctors would want you to believe. That is, if you believe bad genes are the cause of all disease, from farting to cancer, because it lets off these medical doctors, it lets them off the hook of responsibility in solving your problems. You know, the reason I can't solve your problem here, lady, is because you got gene problems. You know, it's genetic. No, it's not genetic, it's nutritional. And in fact, you know, most of you people out there, as sick as you are and as poorly nourished as you are, if you change your diets out there, you could cure your own diseases. Most of your diseases out there are caused by nutritional deficiencies. Now, it's true, some of you are probably being poisoned, there's no doubt about that, but poisoning doesn't occur that often. It occurs. You know, if you're living in downtown Los Angeles, breathing that bad air, you're being poisoned, there's no doubt about it. The solution to that is to move the hell out of Los Angeles. But if you're going to remain there, it is true that you run a higher risk, but it's your nutrition. You people in the cities aren't eating very well. You're eating Big Macs and fries, and they taste real good, and I don't deny it, but that's not where the nutrition comes from. McDonald's is not selling nutrition. They're selling taste. They're selling salt and sugar, and that's what tastes good. It's because our soils are depleted of minerals, because we don't practice land Sabbaths and jubilees. So our grains, fruits, and vegetables are depleted of minerals. Now, we have plenty of fruits and vegetables and grains out there, but let me tell you a story here. In 1880, the average protein content of grain coming out of Kansas, this is wheat primarily, was 24%. By 1950, it had degenerated to 18%. Today, it runs somewhere between 7 and 13%. What caused that? In 1880, now 120, 130 years ago, the protein content of wheat in Kansas was 24%. Today, it's 7 to 13. Come on. Something happened here. What happened? Well, we're wearing out the soils. How do you treat soil so that it doesn't wear out? Is there a solution to that? I know you're putting chemical fertilizers on, but the chemical fertilizer produces bins and bushels of foodless food. How do you produce bins and bushels of nutrition Where does that come from? It comes from practicing land Sabbaths and Jubilees and organic farming and using open pollinated seeds. Now, you people are out here eating this GMO food, and it's killing you. That's number one. You've been eating hybrid seed food for the last, 75 years, and it's killing you. And the nation's obese. I saw the other day a factoid that came around that 25% of Americans are now obese. See, you're overweight, that's one thing. But now when you get to be obese, that's 25%. That's just plain sloppy fat. Tuck that one away. Now, additionally, our immune systems require 90 nutrients, 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 essential amino acids, and 3 essential fatty acids to maintain and to repair itself in order to protect us from infectious diseases. Now, infectious diseases, things like colds, flu, strep throat, flesh-eating streptococcus, Epstein-Barr virus, HIV, candida, albicans, candida albicans, rheumatoid arthritis, herpes, hantavirus, cancer, heart attack, stroke. These diseases that we're all suffering from here in the United States, and I suppose to a lesser degree around the world, are caused by nutritional deficiencies. You're getting plenty to eat. There's no shortage of calories. Americans are not calorie short. Americans have plenty of calories. What they don't have is the trace elements, so 60 essential elements, like things like selenium. Now, our immune system is very complex, and it defends us from attack on all sides. And it's made up of tissues and organs that are not normally considered part of our immune system. So let's take a look at your immune system. It's made up of 20 parts. 20 parts. You have what's known as T cells, B cells, killer cells, neutrophils, monocytes, eosinophils, basophils, bone marrow, albumin and globulin, antibodies, lymphatic system, thymus, tonsils, appendix, spleen, lymph nodes, skin, gastrointestinal tract, tears, mucus, and urine. So your immune system is made up of a lot of parts. Now, it's very common for doctors to cut off your breasts, lady, and take out your lymphatic system. And it's very common for your appendix and spleen to be removed. Yeah, you can live without your appendix. Yeah, you can live without your spleen, but you can't live as well. It would be better if we took care of our livers and spleens and our appendix and so on, rather than have them replaced. Mickey Mantle tried that replacement. The Mopar auto parts replacement of his liver didn't last long, 6 months, and he died. Now, of course, he abused his body. He poisoned himself with alcohol. He was an alcoholic, and he died of cirrhosis of the liver. That's liver failure. That happens to people, so tuck that away in your heart. You can poison yourself with cigarettes, alcohol. Let's take a look at longevity here. Chronic degenerative diseases that affect Americans are totally preventable with mineral, vitamin, amino acid, and essential fatty acid supplements. The healthiest and longest-lived cultures on the planet consistently consume high levels, that is 60 to 72 minerals with each meal. Generation after generation, their reward is a drug-free, crime-free, disease-free, healthful people who live long, productive, and joyful lives that have fulfilled their genetic potential for longevity. Now, old age is not a disease. It is a sad fact, however, that everyone who dies of infirmities or natural causes dies of nutritional deficiency diseases. So what a waste. In a survey of Americans, most people want to live healthfully to age 100, and they're willing to put out a lot of effort to accomplish this reasonable goal. Another survey pointed out that Americans are also going off of the strict cholesterol watch and again eating red meat and sugar. After 5 to 10 years of national sacrifice and a collective dietary fat and cholesterol paranoia, we spent a whopping $117 billion for cholesterol testing alone in 1993. Our American statistics for health and longevity have changed little or none. Longevity, regardless of each of our genetic potentials for long life, in fact, requires a consistent daily intake of these 90 essential nutrients, 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 essential amino acids, and 3 essential fatty acids, required by humans if we are to fulfill that potential. Now remember, the average lifespan for Americans is 75.5, and the longest-lived people of the industrialized nations are the Japanese, who on the average reach 79.9. Americans rank 17th in longevity. And when we're compared with the other industrialized nations, again, we Americans fall short, not because of poor genetic makeup or the lack of the right stuff, but rather it's from a lack of attention to the basics of the flesh. If you want to get that 300,000 miles from your Mercedes that it was designed and engineered for, then you must put in motor oil, lubricants, and coolant, you know, even for a Mercedes. All right, so reviewing this again, when you ladies are pregnant, there are certain developmental stages that are going on with this embryo and this fetus in your womb. And if you're lacking in these nutrients when that stage in the development of the embryo is occurring, the embryo then is short of those building blocks. Just picture it like this. You're running an assembly line. And off of the, at the end of the assembly line is rolling off brand new Ford automobiles. Now let's suppose that these new Ford automobiles are coming off at the rate of one car every minute. That means that every minute there has to be four tires and four wheels that are arriving at the station where the tires and wheels are put on the automobile. If, for instance, at that station, the tires and wheels don't show up, there's a shortage of tires and wheels, then every minute as this car is going down the assembly line, if there's 5 minutes of a shortage of these tires and wheels, then there's going to be five cars that don't have tires and wheels. If while the car is going down the assembly line, it goes past the station that's putting in the headlights, and there's no headlights available, it goes past the station and it's missing its headlights. When your baby is being developed, if at that juncture of time the heart's being developed and there aren't the proper minerals and vitamins there, then the heart is not completed and it doesn't have all of its component parts. Then you have congenital heart disease, cleft palate, cleft lip, club foot, or some other deformity. Not rocket science, ladies, it's just common sense. Well, I'm about out of time, so let me remind you that you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Remember, we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.